How is AI kind of playing or impacting that industry? What software is kind of moving into that industry, and really understanding what that software is doing, kind of make yourself a subject matter expert at that particular piece of software.
This is Humane, a weekly podcast focused on bridging the gap between humans and machines in this age of acceleration. My name is David Jakubowicz, and on this podcast, I interview experts in sociology, psychology, artificial intelligence, researchers on consumer-facing products, and consumer-facing companies to help audiences better understand AI and its many capabilities. If you like the show, remember to subscribe and leave a review. Today on our podcast, I'm bringing to you Geronimo De Leon, or my friend, as I like to call him, JD. JD's been involved in the digital space for many years, from working with AI-first companies with products like IBM Watson Data Studio, and is currently working on his own startup, Welcome.ai, to bridge the gap with humans and machines, I believe. But I want to hear from JD first. Why do we even need a platform like Welcome AI? Aren't robots going to take over the world?
Thanks for the intro, David. Yeah, what we see now, and the reason, one of the main reasons why I came up with Welcome to AI, I've been in more on the digital marketing side for IBM, and more specifically IBM Watson and the data science products. And you see year on year that there's more AI companies coming into the market. You're exactly right with AI kind of taking over the world. And there's McKinsey research shows that companies who adopt a proactive artificial intelligence strategy are kind of moving ahead of their competitors. So for businesses to actually just keep ahead or be part of the playing field, they need to start thinking about how does AI kind of fit into my business strategy there.
Now, we've worked together with IBM Watson. So for our listeners here, I did get to work on the IBM Watson platform and explore its data science products. And the challenge that I've experienced with all AI products is there is a learning curve. Yeah. And you particularly built out the accreditation and certification process for new users on IBM Watson to learn how to use that software. And do you think we should be learning the software? I mean, how do we bridge this gap?
Now, and this is what I'm kind of seeing of, like, AI software is coming into market at a kind of different levels, right? You've got that data science level where there are tools and services that are there to kind of empower or help and assist the data science level. And that's obviously going to require a lot more learning and education. And then you have the developer level where there's every big technology company from the IBMs to the AWS to the Googles are allowing you to access their AI services. So you it's less, I guess, education from the hardcore machine learning, but more education of how to access their APIs and how to train their models that they provide you access to. Then there's the software level where you don't have to kind of learn all that foundational machine learning algorithms and data training, because it provides you a user interface. And this is like one of the main reasons why I developed Welcome to AI, is to kind of show you there is a breadth of software out there that would satisfy, I guess, your business needs, right? At the moment, people are kind of thinking, artificial intelligence too hard, I'm going to need data scientists, I'm going to need developers, or I'm going to need a whole bunch of things to be able to get started. But there is a raft of startups and new technology companies that are kind of tackling here, coming into industries, providing AI services, so you don't have to learn all the foundational machine learning theory. It really is more discovering the tools and services that are going to satisfy you at the level of knowledge that you have. Because, you know, you're not going to see everyday businesses kind of bring on a whole data science team. Like the small to medium or type businesses don't really have that capability, but they still need to have they still need to be thinking about, okay, how do I become more efficient, or how do I help my business create more value with artificial intelligence?
I find that so fascinating because especially small and medium-sized businesses don't know where to get started often on what productized services they should use. And in 2018, Matt Turk from First Mark, an early stage venture capital firm, came out with the Big Data and AI Landscape 2018 infographic. And for our viewers, when you get to see this infographic, there are hundreds of startups in the industry, all with their own platforms, with horizontal and vertical AI applications. There's so many products now. And, you know, us being in the AI industry, we know a little bit about, you know, this is a good product, or we can ask our friends, can you recommend what I should use? Okay, let's use AWS SageMaker. Let's use IBM Neural Network Modeler. But what about for these small and medium-sized businesses? How can they get started? I know you're working welcome.ai. Is that part of the solution?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Like, you and part of it is you don't know what you don't know, right? There's potentially a small to medium business isn't going to know exactly where to start. So how welcome.ai works is you would come into the platform and start following categories, say particularly your industry or potentially a technology you're interested in, such as chatbots, and then we serve you up content from AI companies that are either serving that industry or have developed that technology. Because we have over 3,000 companies on the site and we're ingesting their tweets and RSS feeds. So we actually tailor the content first from a discoverability perspective, where you get to see content from here are all the companies that are servicing, say, finance. So it kind of gives you a taste of, okay, what's actually happening in the field. And as time goes on, you would be potentially start to follow or interact with content from particular companies, and your feed starts to get tailored to more companies and technologies you're gravitating to. Like one thing that we're trying to do also is create a classification algorithm where we will also start tailoring content based on how technical you are, because we don't want to be serving content that's more is very hardcore technical to a person that's more that doesn't have that type of knowledge, right? So that's what we're really trying to funnel content content about these companies and about these technologies to the right audience.
And if I'm an everyday consumer who knows nothing about AI, it can seem very overwhelming. Where do I get started? Okay, I joined Welcome.ai, and now I see these tools and these platforms and these products in my industry that can help me learn more and be more relevant. But I still have this overwhelming fear. Like, is my job going to be replaced by these products next year, or will they augment my working experience? What's your opinion there?
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest fears that is out there at the moment, how artificial intelligence is going to change industries or take jobs, right? Even to the smallest jobs. Like I saw, I think it was last week or the week before, how Walmart seems to be doing a lot in automation. They, for example, introducing a suite of autonomous janitors. So in January, so that obviously kind of takes the role of someone it's more saving someone's time, but it potentially will take someone's role. But then they're also introducing chefs in the kitchen that can do the frying, you know. But the big thing is that we are going through what they're calling, I guess, the next industrial revolution, and some jobs, more the repetitive side, will go. But I think from businesses have to think more from automation of activities first rather than automation of jobs itself. There are obviously cumbersome activities that AI is there to save you time. Like for a great example is in the legal field, there's new tools out there that's going to save you so much time in digging through a lot of legal paperwork. And that's primarily... it's going to hopefully free up, legal people to do other tasks as well. So there's going to be a lot of automation from a task level. There's definitely going to be some automation from a job level. But I think what businesses should be thinking about is what activities within my business can I start automating? And also start preparing their staff. A big part of this is also preparing people of, hey, there's certain roles that are going to be changing, And there's a big discussion of how do we prepare the education system for this, right? And you see big universities from MIT to kind of creating whole artificial intelligence colleges. So they're investing big money knowing that the education system and the industries are going to change. So we have to really start preparing and educating people about it.
And education is such an interesting point, because what I'm hearing, JD, is there's two types of jobs. There's these jobs that are easily automated, such as going to your neighborhood McDonald's and no longer having a high school student or right, flipping burgers.
That's right.
But instead, they're called Fanuc robots. These robots that are just going to automatically control them with vision sensors and infrared and move and do that process. And right now there's startups in the Valley, in Silicon Valley, that are actually experimenting with these robots for coffee machines and for hamburger joints, and they've raised capital, and it's very interesting. So those jobs that are more manual labor, if you will, and repeatable process, like Walmart, you know, these janitorial staff. Well, many of our homes and apartments, we have Roombas and these self-cleaning robots, right, that clean the floor. So I guess the argument is, well, why not at Walmart? You know, do we really need people vacuuming and mopping?
And you know, it's funny, the Walmart, I guess, robot that's still in research phase is actually called Flippy. So the whole flipping a burger thing is something you're already going to start to see in the coming year or two.
Yeah, and it's I think I could see how it could be scary, especially if you're someone who doesn't code and you're not from development. You know, you have a pension or you have benefits, and it's, you know, what do I move towards? You know, what is my new specialized skill? And as you mentioned, in the legal profession, now there's these new AI startups that help you analyze 500 pages of legal papers in seconds to help you understand the sentiment of a case and analysis. But then, like, that's great for the lawyers who are making hundreds of dollars an hour anyway, right? This is only helping their field. But then it's, well, what's in it for me, for the full-time single mom at McDonald's, or the retired professional making extra income, or on their fixed income at Walmart? How can we get them into education? And for our audience here today, you know, I'm quite involved, and JD knows this, in the bootcamp space, teaching a lot. So it's such an interesting topic that I'm not sure if we know the answer just yet. But what's your thoughts on bridging the gap here with AI education?
Yeah, and this is what we're slowly, and we should be starting to see new forms of roles coming into about as well. We're going to see, obviously, some roles go away, but just the same way, for example, we didn't have a whole social media industry, say 10, 15 years ago. Now we have whole companies spring up that manage your social media or do manage your social postings or that type of stuff. You're definitely going to start to see new roles that come about that will require a new level of education. Like, the first one that kind of comes to mind is there's going to be a lot more voice assistants, right? So someone to go through and help train those voice assistants or look through where they're not going right. This is where you're starting to see in China a whole bunch of I guess what you'd call companies being set up more around data tagging. And data tagging is starting to become big in other countries because AI relies on that so much, right? So that's not, I'm saying, a role that people should gravitate towards, but more around, we're definitely going to start to see new roles. And probably advice I'd give out to kind of listeners or people understanding, hey, where is my kind of career changing? Kind of go and have a look at what software or what technologies are kind of impacting your industry, right? Because of these new softwares, new technologies that is looking to change, there's going to be businesses that need help with using this software. The same way, like I mentioned, There are agencies or companies that are there to help you, that help train people on social media or even other specific tools. There's all this tooling that's being created. There is opportunity there for people to learn the tools and become experts within the tools. So they don't have to get down to the level of, say, data scientists, because they may not want to be at that level. But learning particular piece of software, I think, is potentially achievable to kind of everyone, like the general public level, right? So understanding what type of industry that you're interested in, how is AI kind of playing or impacting that industry, what software is kind of moving into that industry, and really understanding what that software is doing, kind of make yourself a subject matter expert at that particular piece of software.
You know, what I think is interesting that you've mentioned is like the spin up of additional services, and that this is part of the AI domain. And a great example is Airbnb. You know, Airbnb got started for us to get some, you know, extra income, rent out our flats or our houses. And then a new problem emerged is everyone was renting on Airbnb, but who's going to clean the homes,
yes,
right? And, you know, a startup that came out and recently exited was Handy.com. Yeah. And if you think about it, their whole purpose was to on-demand have cleaners.
For everyday people, right?
Right, everyday people, you know, Airbnb or, you know, those who would have maids or other services for that. But, I mean, it begs that question. So this data cleaners or these data taggers,
yeah,
that you're mentioning that are in China and other parts of the world, they're taking these images and saying, this is a dog, this is a cat, because the machine often isn't smart enough to do that. So this is a new industry that's spun up by the need to classify all these images. And so that's one example, right? But I'm sure there's going to be a multitude of businesses emerging.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But that's a perfect example, as you mentioned with Airbnb, and then other businesses kind of sprung up because of that. We're still definitely in the early stages of these, I guess, AI tools and technologies coming into business. And similar to how, I guess, that cloud wave came about and the mobile wave came about, it took some time for businesses. And then now there's no kind of business that isn't thinking about mobile or some sort of cloud strategy, right? You're going to see that also with AI, and then other businesses emerge of how to support businesses with their AI.
I think it's exactly what you're saying, that it's not just the growth of how to support in AI, but also how to distill the right information.
Yeah.
One of the golden sources I look to for good information in the AI industry is the Artificial Intelligence Index. And the 2018 annual report recently came out and includes on its boards people from Stanford University, MIT, McKinsey, OpenAI, and Harvard. So you have a lot of intelligent people on this committee. And what has been mentioned is that the rate of growth of this industry is almost unprecedented. This year alone, in 2018, almost 30% of all AI papers were written in this year. It's growing so fast. And, you know, again, if I'm a consumer, am I going to read these research papers, PhD, peer reviews? Maybe not. Maybe I want to go on, you know, Welcome AI and say, let's take a look at bot builders. If my company wants a chat bot, how can I implement that? So, so what do you think is next also for Welcome AI? Like, where are you guys in your journey of bridging this gap of so much information for the consumer?
Yeah, we're really at the start, and that's exactly right. There is so much information out there, like, and unfortunately, there's a mix of good and bad, right? There's a whole ethics debate. There's also the whole bias debate, not really a debate, but a concern. Where Welcome AI kind of plays into all of this is we really want to kind of help businesses or companies kind of make sure that here are the actual technologies and companies that are making a benefit to other companies. You know, we're focused more on the real world use cases of AI, and less about maybe opinions from leaders, but more and research. We kind of want to be showing more. Here is actually how specific AI technologies are impacting or making a great return on investment for specific companies. That's kind of our main service that we want to be providing. One, allowing you to discover artificial intelligence companies, and then showing you how are they actually benefiting or how they actually helping companies with their technologies. We're really trying to stay more optimistic, focused, and kind of educate the world and educate companies that they do have to start thinking about this this area or this technology, really just to stay in the game and to also provide additional value to their customers. Because there really will be a point where this is just the norm that every type of company that's set up has to be thinking about, okay, definitely from a data perspective, okay, how do we collect data? How do we make sure it's private? Then how do we use that data specifically to our needs? And then what services or tools do we use with that data? Is it could be in-house tech or it could be just tech that they get off the shelf. So this is type of stuff or I guess businesses kind of should be thinking about, especially from a leadership or strategy perspective. And that's where we hope to come in, where we show you the breadth of the companies that are out there in the industry at the moment and how they're making an impact. From a business perspective. So we try to kind of stay away or not get involved too much from a ethics or data or more robots taking over the world perspective, because those conversations are already happening. We do kind of want to have a viewpoint, but more around we want to show and educate that this is changing the industries and the world. So here are the real things that you kind of have to be thinking about.
Thinking about AI becoming the norm and moving into the next couple of years. In New York, where we both live, there's the new Cyber NYC Institute. Partnerships of Cornell, of Columbia, of CUNY, of a lot of these programs. There is the opening of Brooklyn Navy Yard. There's Amazon HQ2. Mm. There's all these things coming to New York and so much information to discover. From what you've seen on your platform on Welcome AI, what are some of the trends in the industries or the companies that you're seeing moving into 2019, 2020 that if I'm this small, medium-sized business or this consumer, this is a trend I should focus on, or this is something that should be especially of interest to me?
Well, I guess there's like more from the small to medium. The services that are out there that are looking to save you time, that's probably where they could probably take benefits. Just thinking from the top of my head, like good. Two kind of fields that you're starting to see really growing and AI really moving into is really the finance and the legal space. Primarily, there's obviously a lot of funding in those spaces, like people doing AI for finance. There's a lot of investors looking for that, primarily because they could already see the benefits of potential prediction or how AI can help with kind of within markets. So. And you're definitely starting to see more of AI in finance. You're definitely starting, well, more from the ROI and seeing a lot of that from a legal perspective, more because it's like the perfect use case, right? There's a lot of content. There's a lot of data that an algorithm can sift through and then provide you, here is what here's the content that you're probably looking for. So those are the kind of two areas that I see growing, but then also seeing making the most significant impact initially. But you also start to see or hear or read about how the transportation industry is starting to really take notice or become more visible in the media of the things that are coming about. I think in Phoenix, more recently, they kind of recently launched, and I can't remember the company name of it, but they've recently launched the Waymo, which is a company, I guess, underneath Google. They recently launched their autonomous taxis there. So, and you've already got other cities with autonomous driving cars as well. But the whole the autonomous driving and the autonomous fleet, just doing some work recently, content work for about to promote Volvo's Vira. There, you see that truck is definitely, or those type of that type of thinking, or that type of, I guess, technology is just going to change the transportation industry from transportation of goods to transportation of people. That's the industry you're going to start to see have the most impact, probably from a country scale perspective, because transportation is one of the biggest areas that people have jobs in.
And if we're focusing on transportation, where the most common job in the U.S. Today is a truck driver, right? Very yep. common here. A lot of goods being moved around. What should these truck drivers be thinking about to change? I mean, should they be going to coding boot camps? Should they be becoming, you know, ethical officers? Should they learn to become these directors of auto moving trucks? I mean, I'm just curious what your take is on how we can reskill or upskill
these. Yeah, people. That's a very interesting topic as well. Like, I think so, some companies are kind of tackling it at a, it's supposed to assist the truck driver, right? So they can rest to provide all of these autonomous driving vehicles. A lot of the angle is better, safer roads. So I guess the vision is if all the cars are autonomous, there'd be less deaths on the road. And the truck industry is, I guess, one of the first ones that they see opportunity with because of they're just constantly driving long miles, right? So I think some of the companies are tackling it more from it's an assistant to kind of help with that. But then, like I mentioned, the whole, if you look at the Volvo Vira truck, there is no driver involved there. That autonomous vehicle is one of the most sleekest looking, I guess, vehicles I've ever seen. But so the way that works is there's going to be a control center. So maybe that's the type of thinking, or that's where they can kind of, there is, I guess, still a level of software learning that they're going to have to do of how to control, I guess, these vehicles. You're already starting to see that in major, I guess, construction, where a lot of the, I guess, or in mining, where a lot of those trucks that are moving dirt from the mining up those mounds are sometimes autonomous or being controlled by someone in a control center. So the whole going back to the learning the software, I think, is key. Less of learning how to code, because that may not be for them, but more learning what is the software that is they're going to need to know about, because somebody's got to learn that software, right? And so that's kind of them knowing how the truck should work. They're theoretically the subject matter experts. So them knowing how the truck should work or how it should drive, they're kind of the perfect fit to learn the software and kind of control how these autonomous trucks or these control-centered controlled trucks should work and drive and maneuver. So that's probably more at the software level rather than at the coding level, I would say, some of these people. Because at the end of the day, being in front of code constantly isn't for everybody. And you're not going to see every type of business have a development team, right? So that whole software level, I think, is the opportunity or the area people need to start thinking about with where do I need to take my career if my role starts becoming more being taken over by robots or autonomous driving. You know, what is the skill that I need to kind of uptake? It's funny because they say that the number one skill people need to have going forward is learnability, because the world is constantly changing at a rapid rate. So being able to learn something new is gonna, and that's we're only gonna see that more, right? With the more technology is growing, like you're saying, the amount of research papers that were produced in the past year were enormous. So being able to learn, maybe not at that research level, but at least at the software level of how particular pieces of software is changing particular roles and learning how to use that software, I think is key.
And for our listeners who are thinking about their industry and whether that's trucking or another industry, I'd like to share two examples of a couple startups in the trucking industry that are doing exactly what JD has been speaking about bridging the gap of humans and machines, which is what we're here about at Humane. The first one's Convoy. So Convoy, it's a $1 billion startup. And if you're a truck driver, they help you book where your freight is going to go from to and optimize those routes. So very interesting startup that has grown to bridge that gap. The second one is called Keep Truckin', and Keep Truckin' builds hardware and devices like dash cams and telematics inside your vehicle that help understand diagnostics and what's occurring so that the vehicle is being optimized and minimizing how often it breaks down. So, you know, I think I'm in agreement with you that I think we're moving in the direction the next couple of years of more augmenting jobs with AI-first technology on the edge, where this technology will make stronger decisions that are informed by AI insights. And that's my hope, you know, each and every day that, yes, we can train each and every person to go through a boot camp and learn code. But at the end of the day, applications and applicability to industries is the point of AI, right? How can we bridge that gap?
Yeah, exactly right. And you're going to start to see the importance of subject matter experts even more so because of the whole businesses needing to know what to do with the data, or someone helping to train the data use the data to train AI. So subject matter experts, becoming a subject matter expert in your field or knowing how AI is changing or what type of data points you need to think about or start cleaning about, that's an area people should be thinking about, knowing how AI is changing your industry and how you can help businesses do that.
I want to be a subject matter expert, and I want to be a subject matter expert on Welcome AI. So I found it super cool checking everything out on these chatbots and different software that can be built. That's really exciting, the platform you've been building. Is there any call to action that your team's working on, you know, over the next few months or year with the platform?
Well, for us, like, our main thing is really helping AI companies or helping people discover these AI companies. So what we're looking to build is from a, I guess, product perspective, is create efficiency for technology companies to create content. And then for us to be able to tailor that content to the correct user. One thing that I found, being in this space for over 4.5 years, originally on Welcome, there was over 4,000 companies, and then doing a lot of startup cleaning, we found a lot of companies have come and go over the past 4.5 years. They've gotten funding, they couldn't find product market fit, or a big problem they've had is they didn't have the marketing sales power to be, I guess, discovered enough. And that's what we're trying to do also, is helping the small guys kind of, one, be discovered, but then also be able to create the amount of content or marketing content efficiently with the teams that they have. Because a lot of the times some of these smaller, AI startups are more technical focused. So we want to help them be discovered and also provide them tools to be able to easily create content that shows the benefits of the technologies.
These technologies are at the heart of AI, whether it's enterprise, consumer, getting specific on databases, or bridging the gap for an app that your team's building in speech recognition or video recognition. The industry is only heating up, and now is an exciting time to start playing around with data, playing around with open source tech stack, or using some of the major platforms that are out and about. There's going to be startups coming about every single day. Some will make it, some won't. But I think one thing's for certain is humans are not being replaced, and the augmentation will continue. And it's an exciting time to see a real technology industry growing with real products and real technologies. That's it for this episode of Humane. I'm David Jacobovich, and if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to click subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you are listening to this. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next one.